This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Everyone has a holiday on a Memorial Day, too, coming up. Right. So you're going to have a three-day weekend and all that. So this could be the month of May could be a great month for great weekends.
Right.
And we already know why this weekend is going to be a great weekend.
And I'm going to the game tonight. And Ty basically built me in an excuse to just call in sick tomorrow. You know, just not make it. Ty said it'd be okay.
Yeah, I said it'd be okay.
You know, so I may or may not be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to get that 12 a.m. text tonight. I'm excited.
12 a.m.? I'm expecting to text at 5 a.m. saying, fellas, I haven't even slept yet.
Got Dixonitis. I can't make it.
Yeah. When was the last time you've been to Dixon, Tom? Just in all honesty.
Oh, see. Last
1954.
Year. Believe all right, there goes your mic off. Last year during the postseason, you know, we went down there following one of the, I don't know if it's regional or super regional games.
So it was
one
a celebration of type.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. See, I actually, honestly, thought that it was going to be a
longer time. I don't know if it counts because we left before sunset, but, you know.
Dixon's Dixon nonetheless. You know, if you still make it there, it's still worth something. You know. So, well, I tell you what.
I had to get home in time to take my pills, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't bring my medicine cash. What would I call it? Attaché.
Yeah.
Know?
Well,
I needed my Friday pills for sunset. My sunset pills.
Did you not have it in your fanny pack that you were walking around with?
Well, no, because I had my Geritol in there and my sunscreen and.
We'll make sure this year you're all prepared.
In my preparation H.
Yeah. we'll make
sure
you're prepared.
My denture cream, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you go back, we're going to make sure you're prepared because, you know, if Arkansas ends up doing the same thing that they did last year, even making it back to the College World Series final, dare I say winning it all, we need to take Tommy to Dixon Street, Ty. Like, that's what we're going to have to do in a celebration.
If Arkansas wins it all.
If Arkansas wins it all,
oh,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. We might need to find a way to do the show live from Dixon Street.
How much is an Uber from Fort Smith to Dixon? Or back the other way, Dixon.
See, I don't know why you always worry about that, because you know what we can do.
Oh, expensive.
Yeah, expensive. I think they'd understand.
I think so. It's research for the show. We're doing research.
Well, I don't know Mr. Pearson personally, but I feel like you would probably be somebody that would easily ride off some Uber.
I think if you understood
the
circumstances. I'm afraid if we rode off an Uber from Fayetteville to Fort Smith, we'd probably get to know him better than we wanted.
Yeah, so. Well, hey, there's one way to get to know the powers that be is by getting them mad enough to where they have to expense an Uber trip.
What is this $300 Uber? What would it cost?
I think I've actually looked it up once, and... And it was actually from Fort Smith to Fayetteville. I don't know about the other way around. But it was about $100.
Let's just do this real time.
And I'd say
this is why we need Nick Mason in here. Nick would know without a
Oh, you know,
look.
He'd give us the bus that he always comes in on, the limousine. And he would
loan us his limo.
Yeah, you know? I mean,
We need to take, we invite Nick and then
transport,
what are we thinking?
Yeah.
We don't need an Uber, we need Nick Mason.
Yeah, well, and we don't actually need Nick Mason, we just need Nick Mason's status.
You know what? First of all, we need to win that national title.
Yeah, we need to get to that point first.
Or any of this becomes real.
Yeah. All right, take a swing. What do y'all, John, you start.
I was 110.
Okay.
140.
117.77.
Ooh.
That's what it takes for an Uber X.
I went over.
To take
I
us
lose.
To Fayetteville. Yeah, to Dixon Street.
I say that if we're playing Price is Right rules, I win that game. I win that matchup. Hey, don't question me on my Uber price matching or my Uber pricing because... I've looked up pretty much every other way because I think it was when I was in Fayetteville, actually on Dixon Street for when Arkansas was playing in the College World Series final. I looked up that just in case I needed to make it back really late because Tommy was out of town.
Yeah, and I was out of the country.
Yeah, you're out of the country. And so and Nick was pretty much kind of incognito as it was. So it was a one-man wrecking crew on this show for the most part. And sometimes I'd have Tyler on.
No worries. I've scheduled everything early this year, so... No out of town, no out of country, no out of anywhere.
So all of your four vacations you're taking this year are before the College World Series.
All five,
yeah. Okay.
So I'll be around.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad that we're going to be able to
watch it
together.
Yes, or better scheduling.
Well, no, what that means is if Arkansas doesn't go to it this year, it's because of you.
I'll go back to Mexico.
You'll have to go back to Mexico next year.
I'll take the bullet.
Okay. I mean, because somebody has to do it, Tommy. It's a dirty job.
I'll take the bullet.
Somebody has to do it. We'll make sure that you're the one that does it. So, if you take
a tradition unlike any other.
Tommy going to Mexico during the College World Series final while Arkansas is playing in it. So, but of course, I don't know, Tommy. They lost it last year when you were in Mexico. So maybe you being here this year will be the game changer.
But I'm not going to be here. I'll be there.
Yes. I'm saying here in the country, I guess, is what
I'll
I was
be there
to.
As in Omaha.
Yes, you know. Referring to here as the country.
Right.
You're here in the United States. Maybe that'll be the difference maker. So, but either way.
Anyway, big night, and hopefully the weather on Saturday cooperates. What you don't want to see is one of these two-game series and it be split. Wouldn't that be the worst? Would you rather lose the series than have a two-game? That's kind of a dumb question, I guess, but. Really, I mean, it would stink if something happened with the weather Saturday. You just couldn't get the game in because they. Well, what about Sunday? Nope, can't do that. You get a 3-day window to play, and that's all you can
do.
So I'm hoping the weather today looks good. Tomorrow not bad. Saturday's the iffy day right now.
And I mean, I don't know. Would they move up and play 2 7-inning games tomorrow?
I think if the weather was that way. Now, maybe we can get. Someone with a little more experience.
We need a weather guy here on the show.
I think you could play 9-inning games if it's not the get out of town day. If it's not the last day, you could play 9-inning games.
So you'd play 2 9-inning games tomorrow, though. You could do that. Okay.
You just can't do it on the last day of the series.
Okay. That makes sense. Because Saturday's the only day that looks really bad. It's going to be cloudy, a little chilly, but.
Looking at tonight, 6 o'clock. No rain in the forecast tonight. 59. Around first pitch, upper 50s most of the game tonight. So by about 10 o'clock, 53 degrees. So great for the opening game of this series.
Man, it's going to be chilly.
66 and cloudy Friday in Fayetteville. Rain and 60 on Saturday. And then Mother's Day Sunday, going to be nice. 70 degrees and partly cloudy. No rain.
Well, I guess if you were going to have a really nice weather day, it would be on Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the way to do it. I don't know how they're going to play this out, but if they have to play 2 9-inning games tomorrow or something like that, jeez,
I don't know if they'll do that. I mean,
what else
look
is
further into
what would be their options? I mean, realistic.
Wait it out on Saturday. Can't rain all day, right?
I don't know. I'm not a weather man.
Never does that in Arkansas.
No, well, that's true. Yeah. And if it's going to do it, though, in Arkansas, for sure, it's going to do it on the day where you don't need it to rain.
Well, I'm telling you, we don't need a whole lot more rain.
No, we're good.
Central Arkansas schools I got out for snow. We got out for not much other than snow or ice when I was, 100 years ago when I was going to school. I don't ever remember being out of school because it flooded.
I was out of school once when it flooded at the U of A, but that's the only time I've ever been out of school.
How did it flood at the U of A? It's on a hill.
It was a torrential.
How does it flood on a hill?
I'm telling you.
What?
I'm just telling you.
That sounds made up.
No, I remember. It was one.
How does it flood on top of a hill?
I'm just saying. I don't know. It was just one day. It was so much rain at such a short period of time for such a.
Soft.
Yeah, I'm just being honest. I'm sure it had something to do with the buses not being able to get there. And Tommy, I love the transit buses because.
Did you ever take a transit bus?
Sometimes. When I actually went to class, but you know,
in one of your 8 years,
one of my 8 years. But that was the thing is it was all the school day all relied on the transit buses, and if the transit buses couldn't find a way to get to the school or to the classes, you got out. It was great.
Weak. Just find a way.
I'm not saying
hoof it. My dad would say hoof
Why?
It.
Why? I'm the one paying for that.
Hoof
if I
it.
Want to skip, if I want their classes to be canceled, the classes should be canceled. I want to risk my health and safety.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Hoof it.
Yeah. Well, I'll remember that next time when I go back to school for 7 years. I'll write that down for you. Make sure I change that up. But
I'm sure your parents will be thrilled.
Oh yeah, they'll love it. They'll love me being back.
You're going to do what?
Yep. Going to go back for my master's.
So
get that money.
So what happens tonight?
Arkansas wins.
All right. Stock answer.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say that they won't.
Big crowd tonight? Light crowd? What do you think?
I think there'll be a solid crowd. I don't think it'll be... I mean, I still think there'll be... Of course, it depends if we're looking at scanned attendance or not. But I still think there'll be 10,000 people there.
9,700 was my number.
9,700? For scanned or how you... I mean... I'm just saying, like, yeah. That's... What are we going to look at? We're going to look at scan? We're going to look at soul? We're just going to ballpark it? No one knows.
Scan tickets. 9,704.
Okay. That's nice. I'll take that.
Write it down.
All right. I'll go for over 10K.
All right.
I'm going to give the benefit there. Over 10K to the night.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. A light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, home!
Thing with the Cubs and the symbol that was given that they banned a fan for the okay symbol.
Well, this is one of I'm going to maybe I'll save this for the conversation.
Yeah, we'll
this
save
is
it.
One of my biggest fears in life is I'm going to do something that is grossly offensive and I don't even know it, because when I saw this, I thought that was the okay sign. I had to read the article to understand that that was even a symbol of race. That's how out of touch I am on some of this stuff.
The thing
that's,
is...
That's my fear. I'm going to do something that is perceived as grossly offensive, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
But the thing is, it's not offensive. It's never been offensive. That's just the way people want it to be. They want it to be offensive. It's terrible. We'll explain. We'll get into
anyone
that.
Anyone else scared of that?
No, I am. That's why
I'm going to say a phrase that I've heard my whole life that's commonly used. I'm going to do something like, hey... Do you need another beer? No, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Give the okay symbol.
And then people are going to pick out machine guns and shoot
he's
you.
He's a racist.
Yes.
What? I was telling the beer man, I didn't need another beer. I'm okay.
It doesn't matter about intent anymore, Tommy.
I don't know what this, but I had to read the article to understand what, I was so clueless on this deal.
Yeah. No, you're not the only one.
That's my fear.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it's like you got to be careful, man. Just you never know what could be offensive in this day and age.
So, we were having a discussion. This is how kids not about this topic with Chicago, but about the difference in people. We were talking with the kids last night about this and how it doesn't matter your color of skin or your background. And my son was adamant. Because he was upset with some kid at school about something, and we were trying to get to what the root of the problem was.
Yeah.
And my wife was being the great inquisitor. And it turned out in the end that the big problem was, are you ready for this? Mom, he's got a PS4, and I've got a
Xbox One.
An Xbox, and we're just never going to get along.
First world problems.
I guess now the discrimination can go as far as what kind
of gaming system
you have. It had nothing to do with the young man's color, his skin, his ethnic background, his parents, you know, the fact that, you know, they both like to read a lot of books. They're both pretty smart kids. Nope. Mom, you just don't get it. He's PS4 and I'm Xbox, and we're just...
This is America in 2019. Just the way it is.
And he was adamant. I mean, he was adamant about this.
Mm. Well, if you can't.
Oh, my God. That's where we're at.
Yep. Hey, these days, those types of things can be as important and as dividing as political stances when it comes to the gaming system that you have. But, man, I can't wait to dive into this story because I definitely want to do that later in the show. Let's go back to the phone lines. Robbie is in Jacksonville. What's going on, Robbie?
Going on, guys? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has.
Where you been?
Been staying busy, man. Been staying busy.
Well, I figured, Robbie, since basketball season ended, you just had nothing else to say, because that was usually your cup of tea was all about basketball.
Well, you know, we went out and I think we made a pretty good hire, and we'll just kind of wait and see. You know, I like where we're headed, so I'll take the positive approach and let's just see if we can make things a little better for next year.
Yeah. Right.
But hey, the reason why I'm calling in, guys, is with all due respect to Tim Corbin, I think that Dave Van Horn's probably done his finest coaching job this year. I remember preseason, you know, he's talking about how he thought, you know, in jest it may have been a little bit, he's talking about, you know, he didn't really think that this team deserved to be ranked because they had so many pieces that he had to fill in from last year's team. And you know, I think that, you know, Dave's done an incredible job finding a way to just plug the holes and things that, you know, while we kind of got off to a slow start offensively, you know, you've got some players that are producing at such a high level right now that I don't think anybody could have seen the fact that we are one conference win away from matching last year at 18-12. And we potentially could win 21, 22 games. No one saw us being a top five national team, basically. This is absolutely, I think that if you're talking about contracts, give Dave Van Horn a lifetime contract, call today, and, you know, start naming, getting him a statue, because this guy is an absolute beast. He represents the university very well. He's a class act, you know, and, you know, I can't say enough great things about him. I'm impressed with his baseball program. Regardless of what the end of the year, the outcome is, I think that there's not a Razorback fan out there that can say, yeah, I knew this was going to happen.
Robbie,
there's nobody who expected this to happen.
Robbie, how many times do you think Dave Van Horn has won SEC Coach of the Year in his time at Arkansas?
I don't think he has at all.
One time, his second year. He's been he's been SEC Coach of the Year once, and if he doesn't win it this year, that's a travesty.
He's the front. He has to be the front runner.
Tell me, who deserves it more? I mean, Mississippi State. I mean, the Indiana coach comes in, and that was a ready-made situation. Nobody saw Arkansas being a top five team. It's crazy.
And what happened to that Mississippi State coach when he took on the great Dave Van Horn? What happened to him? Remind me. I can't remember.
Ofer.
Yep.
Broom.
Ofer.
Broom.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like the where the SEC is at in baseball right now. I mean, you're talking 10 teams, you know, going to get in the tournament. You're looking at, you know, five possibly going to host. I mean, you know, SEC is representing well. And I think Arkansas right now, you know, one of the outlets, you know, not to name names here, but top has like number three, you know, in terms of like national seed. But at the end of the day, you got six conference games left. You got to go out and take care of business at home, you know, and then hopefully, you know, get a couple wins at A&M. Have a good showing in the SEC tournament, and let's see what happens. Yeah. But I like our chances that we host getting back to Omaha.
Oh, I do too.
And it would be really sweet if the stars aligned, and for some reason Oregon State were to come to Fayetteville, you know, in a super regional. I drop what I'm doing. I'm driving. I'm getting there. I wouldn't be able to miss that.
Would any of you guys trade a sweep this weekend over LSU for a series loss against A&M? You still go 4-2 over the last six. Would you sacrifice the series win against A&M to just stick it to LSU this weekend?
I say 100% equivocally, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm 1,000% on that. Okay, let me make the question harder. Would you trade a sweep this weekend for getting your own butt swept next weekend?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
All right. No. That's where you draw the line. I get it.
You get swept at A&M. It puts a really bad taste in your mouth, and it's about how you finish. So let's say you get swept at A&M, and then you go out in the SEC tournament, and you don't fare well. Ooh, now things get a little dicey when you're talking about, you know, Arkansas doesn't get a lot of national love like that. You could be looking at a lower seed, which, you know, doesn't necessarily, you know, bode well for us with a, you know, possible super regional matchup.
If Arkansas sweeps LSU, there's going to be a lot of hangovers on Mother's Day Sunday morning. I mean, the preacher may be hungover.
Yeah.
Mothers may be
hungover.
I mean, it's going to be a party. I think people are too hyped, honestly. I think there's just – because then if it turns out in Arkansas to win the series, it's going to be like the biggest letdown we've seen in a while with baseball.
That's sports, man.
That's why we love
– it's exactly right. It's why we love sports.
We got to take it with a level head, man. This is just – while you say it's LSU, you have to treat it like it's just another series.
But it's not. It's not, though, Robbie. It's not another series because you haven't beaten these guys since 2011 in a series. And then, like, the 14-year history between these two, it's not good. Arkansas, Dave, in rubber matches, was it, Ty? 0-10?
0-10.
0-10 in rubber matches against LSU. Postseason, what did you say, 1-9?
1-9.
1-9. Yeah.
In the SEC
Hoover
tournament? Yeah, God, I mean, it's not just another series. There's some redemption here that has to be had.
But if there's a series, if there's a year to get LSU, it's this year. And if there were a year to get Florida, it would have been this year, because, you know, we got some mojo going on, and I like where we're at.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah. Our boys got to run, but hey, as always, I love listening to you guys.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, Robbie. Coming from Jacksonville, Florida, by the way, not Jacksonville, Arkansas.
Totally trade
a sweep this weekend for a series loss. I'm with you all on the sweep.
Well, yeah.
I mean, totally. Give me three this weekend. I'll, you know, just one next weekend.
Well, it's because we've talked about that. What would it mean for them to just win one of the next two series? We feel like if they win one of the next two, they wrap up a national seed. So it's like if you can sweep LSU, you get the series win, you get the series sweep. Everything feels great, grand, and wonderful. So why not go ahead and just sacrifice that to lose one game against A&M?
But you get a sweep over LSU, they'd be like driving a T-post through their chest. I mean, it would just be a satisfying feeling.
Yeah. And in 2011.
I know.
0-10 in rubber matches?
I didn't know. I heard Phil and Ty talking about that yesterday. I was like, that can't be right.
It is.
That can't be right. Yeah. Are you sure that's right, Ty?
Yeah. Just double check.
You just double check. Triple check that. Dave Van Horn is 0-10 in rubber matches?
I couldn't imagine Dave Van Horn being 0-anything in anything.
That can't be right. That's got to be a misprint.
Yeah. But no, it's factual. It's true.
I know, because they were talking with the great Andy Hodges about it. So it's got to be right.
I'm going to reserve comment for that.
It's got to be right.
After the commercial break. But yes, that's a great stat, and it's
no, it's not a great stat.
Well, no, it's a great stat, as in an interesting stat, because again, I would never dream Dave Van Horn be 0-8.
Exactly, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. But you know what? Things can change. It might change this weekend.
Here,
and that's really what's
important. Here.
It could change this weekend. That's where you're at.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
You know, Tyler, the guy that made the comment on our Facebook stream, live stream, that was mentioning how we may be overhyping it. He commented back and said, good point, how he's really hyped about the baseball team and has been in previous years, but he doesn't even really care about football anymore because of just there's no hype to it. There's no excitement to it. And that kind of made me wonder with that comment. Does other sports at Arkansas have impact on people's excitement, on people's attention, on people's focus on other sports? For instance, does the Razorback football season this past year and how bad it was, did that put a damper on people getting excited for basketball season moving into the next portion, or did it make people more excited because they didn't want to have anything to do with that football season again?
I think it makes you more excited because I think we're always, as sports fans, just in search of a winner. I mean, I remember in the 90s when football in the early 90s was not good. I mean, it was, you know, the Jack Crow years and the early Danny Ford days, and man, you couldn't, well, like mid-October, you're like, man, when's
basketball?
When's Nolan's team start playing? It's practice open. Mm-hmm. Can we go watch them practice? And you didn't really, honestly, worry as much. I mean, yeah, it stunk that you weren't very good other than that 95 season until Houston Nutt showed up. But you didn't, you always had something to look forward to, and it was basketball. Baseball's kind of replaced that in some ways. You know, and baseball was an afterthought in the 90s. No one even, they have a baseball team? You know, it's kind of what you thought in the 90s, even though they had been to some College World Series, even though Norm DeBrine had a very solid program, it wasn't even third fiddle there. Track and field was probably more talked about because of all of its championships. So, yeah, I mean, I think when you have a program that's struggling like football has for so long, you're always in search of something that's winning, that's relevant, and baseball has become relevant.
Yeah.
Not just at Arkansas, but around the league and around the country.
And it's a scary thought to think, what if you didn't have baseball? What if you didn't have a perennial top five, top 10 program
right
now?
We'd all be on Wellbutrin.
I mean, would we even have a radio show? I mean, it's just, you just think about just the amount of chaos and terribleness it would cause. But luckily for Arkansas that they do have it. But even basketball still to this day, though, because we've talked about this too, Tommy. Basketball still, if it's good, if it's enjoyable, if it's entertaining, that's still going to be a bigger deal than baseball at Arkansas. It just is. That's just kind of what's been implanted into Razorback fans. And it's not a slight against baseball. It's just saying the pecking order of how things go, it's always going to be basketball when it's good. Now, when it's bad, obviously we see the example of that. But when it's good, basketball still reigns supreme. Let's go back to the phone lines. Terry is in Malvern. What's going on, Terry?
How y'all guys doing?
Pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. Hey, I was just coming. I mean, football and basketball is going to be, you know, still the hot topic of, especially this state here. I look at, because we just got to think about, you know, down during the years when we was on top, especially in football during Petrino years, and then in basketball with Nolan, you know, it's still going to be that top because we all want to still get back up there. But for now, at least with baseball, you know, we did go there. We didn't win it, but it's pretty exciting. I mean, to me, I'm proud of it. At least we got one sport that we're in the top five in. And also, I know most people don't get into this, but even the softball team is kind of pretty exciting now a little bit with
good point.
With the coach they got. And I'm thinking about, you know, we should be even talking about that because they've never even, I mean, what, last year they got to the regionals, super regionals, and they won the regional here at Fayetteville. So, I mean, that's pretty exciting for right now. So both teams are doing good. And hear y'all comments, and y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Terry. And to your point, you know, no one talks about the golf programs unless they're on the verge of a national title or a SEC champ. But the women's golf team qualified for the NCAA championship that's going to be held in Northwest Arkansas at the Blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the men can follow suit and make the tournament in their own backyard. So there's another thing to talk about and celebrate. But again, the problem is that doesn't interest most of you. Baseball, our point earlier was baseball's turned the corner to where it interests more and more and more of you. There was a time on this show years ago where we couldn't talk a lot. I remember meeting at like that 09 College World Series, and we went in for like a month, all in, hard in on baseball, you know, for a month, month and a half. And the research came back, and it was a mistake. Even though you were at the College World Series, great postseason run, you out there didn't want to hear about it. And one thing we can measure is hits on our website. And I can still tell you, you put up just a run-of-the-mill football story, something about what Chad Morris has going on,
recruiting
something about
story.
Ben Hicks, our recruiting story. It's multiple times more clicks and reads on the website than any baseball, than a Dave Van Horn press conference or a baseball wrap-up story or anything we put up there, baseball, right next to it, won't get as many clicks.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
And it's hard for people to process that because there's so, like, there are people that are listening to the show.
What do you mean? We're number four in the country. Yeah. How can that be?
Yeah, they are so into baseball right now, and they are always into baseball, and they're diehard fans about baseball. But to the casual Razorback fan, baseball is nice, and baseball is something that they'll be interested in, especially if they're really good. But their focus and attention is always going to be in football and even in basketball a little bit.
Even last year during the awesome postseason run Arkansas made, we put a football story up during the middle of the College World Series. The football story would be read more.
Yep.
And you guys were like, y'all didn't believe me when I first told you this, when y'all first came here. I'm like, just watch. And I mean, that's one way of judging what you are interested in out there. And the interest in our state is still football.
Mm-hmm.
Football number one, football number two, and then basketball, then baseball. You know, just is.
And how I've always put it is that with a sport like baseball at Arkansas, it is they have more diehards. They do. There are more diehard Razorback baseball fans than, say, diehard Razorback basketball fans. There are. But the difference is that there are more casual Razorback basketball fans than they are casual baseball fans. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it really comes into play, is that it's a louder voice of baseball. You have a lot more attention. You have a lot more focus. You have a lot more emotion put into it, maybe you as a fan. But there's just not as many of you.
There's a lot more varying opinion, though, when it comes to football or basketball. You may think Chad Morris is going to get it done. He's a good coach. He's on the horizon. Or you may think he's a terrible hire. There's a variety of opinion when it comes to the football program in particular. I think everybody's just hopeful and maybe even thankful for a change and a new direction in the basketball program. So that might be a little bit different deal right now. But football, there's a variety of opinions. What's the opinion in baseball? Dave Van Horn's great, and the program's really good. I mean, does anyone vary from that?
No.
We got anyone out there that doesn't think Dave Van Horn's, like, the greatest coach on campus, maybe the greatest ever next to McDonald?
on that campus. And, you know, there's just not a variety of opinion is my point.
Yeah.
We all agree about the state of the baseball program.
Yeah.
There is no,
there's no controversy.
There is no dissenting opinions.
No.
Which makes it a little less, we crave and desire drama and controversy in this country. What, just what, last night, what was on? Survivor was on, right?
Yes, Survivor was on, I guess.
The Amazing Race. All of these shows, what's the common denominator?
Yeah, drama.
Drama.
Yeah.
Conflict.
That's what people want.
Good-looking people.
That too.
People that hadn't eaten. People that hadn't eaten in a month.
Yeah.
On a deserted island. You know, that's
what people want.
Thing. Yeah. There is no drama or conflict really with the baseball program. That's internal at least.
But I think that even if in the football program, say if it was on top and say if it was a program that was a perennial top 25 program, there would still be conflict.
There would
and
still
controversy.
Be. Because Arkansas's never, and I say never, and I can't, Arkansas's never going to do what the baseball Arkansas's football program is never going to do what the baseball program has done.
No. No. I don't even know if the basketball program will be able to do that. At this point.
I just don't think you're going to have a 15-year period where, I mean, because what would you equate appearing in, earning your way to a College World Series to? Making the football playoff or at least a New Year's Day 6,
I'd say
right?
At least a
New Year's Day 6. And Dave Van Horn did it in what, 04, 9, 12, 15, last, 5? Did I count right? I just listed them off.
Looked five right
times?
To me.
Yeah.
Five times mm-hmm. in 17 years? Almost one every three. Good chances of number six. That's not going to happen in football. I would like to see it. Trust me. Love to see that in football. But does anyone out there really believe in there's a 15-year period where like every third year you're going to go to New Year's Day six?
Not at this point.
Meaning you're going to win the division or be second in the division more times than you're not.
Not at this point.
No.
But here's the thing, though, Tommy. Say if they ever did. If football ever got to that point.
Oh, this state would be on fire.
Well, it would be. But baseball would also take a major, major,
you're exactly
major
right.
backseat.
Because that was the point of this conversation. Everybody, the moths are drawn to the flame of success.
That's right.
And the only success, the only flame of success.
Is baseball,
is
right.
Dave Van Horn.
But if football ever got to that point, I don't know how much we'd even talk about baseball. Even if they were having the run right now, if football was just coming off of 10-win season and they were a team that might even be in a national championship conversation this next season, who knows how much we'd actually talk about it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Let's go to the phone lines and welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette to talk a little recruiting with us, mainly in football and in basketball, but across the board, pretty much everywhere. Richard, how you doing this morning, man?
Doing good, guys. Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, anytime. And, you know, the first question I want to ask you about is one that I think we discussed or at least alluded to a little bit last week, but it seems like there's been some more developments in it, and that's about the Cal transfer of Connor Vanover as actually visiting Arkansas coming in this weekend. You know, I found this fascinating because, you know, you look at the type of player he is, and we don't really know just yet what Eric Musselman wants this team to look like. But I think it's kind of an interesting move to have the visit in there where there's really big interest in him being 7'3", and he had some stats there as a freshman year. But I just think this is a very interesting and curious transition from him maybe being interested in coming to Arkansas.
Well, he definitely gives you a little bit of length.
Yeah. Yeah.
At being 7'3", but Coach Musselman and they really rely on the 3-point shot, and that's one thing that Connor can definitely bring you. I mean, he's always had that strength of hitting that 3-pointer, and he continued that as a freshman at Cal. So he can get you some rebounds, and obviously, and does give you a little bit more length. And I imagine Coach Musselman sees a guy 7'3", 225 pounds, and thinks, "Hey, I can help develop this guy." I mean, that's what he's basically said to the kids on campus and kids that he's recruiting. I can develop you and improve your game, and obviously that probably is the same thing with Connor, and Connor actually starts his official visit this morning, so and he'll leave Saturday morning. But yeah, he's an intriguing guy.
Arkansas has made an offer to Darian Ford, an in-state freshman from Magnolia. I think a lot of people on the western side of the state probably very unfamiliar with Ford. Tell us more about this player from South Arkansas who's still got several years of high school but has a long list of offers and drawing a lot of interest. Tell us more about this player that I think a lot of people in our audience are probably very unfamiliar with.
Yeah, I saw him at Real Deal in the Rock, and first thing that stands out, you know, 6'2", 6'3", very mature body at such an early age, about 180 pounds right now. A lot of times you see guys, you know, at his age, he's actually, you know, like you said, just a freshman. He's playing up on the AAU level on the 16 and under for Team South. And you just see his physical maturity, then his physical ability, his ability to drive to the basket. I mean, he's almost unstoppable. His mid-range is good. He can handle the ball exceptionally well. His outside shot, it's good right now, but if he improves that, he'll be just about unstoppable. I mean, he is that good. I think he could be the next guy that you see, you know, being a top 20 type prospect as he gets older and continues to improve. But and a great kid, comes from a great family, so humble. You don't see him on Twitter hardly at all. He's not a big Twitter guy. He's more focused on his game and just ate up with basketball. And again, just a comes from a great family, good kid.
Okay, when Corliss came up, you knew in the eighth or ninth grade his greatness, and Monk the same way. Is this kid in that same category? Can you say this early on? Because those two, you know, were generational type athletes. I've heard people try to put Ford in that group. Is he going to be a player we refer to at some point the same way we refer to maybe the greatest two high school players, you know, certainly the last 25 or so years to come out of our state? Is he in that conversation?
I think so. I really think he has a capability, whether or not he fulfills that, you know, what I believe he has, that type of potential, we'll see. The type of person he is, you know, I'm a firm believer. If you have high character and you do all the right things, you're going to fulfill your potential more so than maybe a kid that doesn't have that type of character. So I think he could definitely be that way. I think you probably saw Monk, you know, develop in high school, and he obviously had the physical tools, but he just really took jumped the last 2 years to where, you know, he was like, holy mackerel. So I anticipate that we'll probably see something along those lines with him, and he definitely has a capability of being that type of player.
Speaking with Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Richard, I want to switch it over to football. Last week, Arkansas had a bunch of visits come in, official visits there for the Razorback football team. How did those visits go? I mean, how are we looking there? Does it look like any of these guys would be ready to commit here soon? Just how'd that overall visit go for those players?
I think it went as well as it could have been, as far as being expected. You had five guys. Brandon Frazier, tight end, he came in a little early on Thursday, left on Saturday. Right now, if I had to say where he might be going, I'd be kind of surprised if he's not a Razorback. He plans to visit Baylor and Texas Tech. 6'6", 240 pounds. Very impressive kid. Saw him at the Arkansas camp last year. Jahari Rogers is a cornerback who's one of the top corners in the country. He made his first visit to Arkansas, and I think he was pretty much blown away. I think, again, we talk about the image of Arkansas, and I think these kids come in not expecting much, especially the ones that have never visited, and he was pretty much blown away. He will take his other four officials, and but Arkansas made a strong impression with him. Have to see what happens going forward there. Garrett Hayes, 6'5", 280-pound offensive lineman from Athens, Texas. He's visited Arkansas before, but he had a good visit. He's not one of these big talkers. He doesn't like to do a lot of interviews. He's just a guy that likes to focus on football. But I think Arkansas is in good shape with him. Saban Williams, 6'5", 6'4", 180-pound receiver from Marshall, Texas. Doesn't have the most impressive offer list, but, man, I'm going to tell you, forget about the offer list. This kid can go. He's 6'4", 6'5", but he looks like a slot receiver, about 5'10", 5'11", a jitterbug, and jitterbug at being 6'4", 6'5". Keep an eye on him. I think Arkansas is in very good shape with him. Juwan Mitchell, linebacker, he's visiting Texas this weekend. He had a great visit with Arkansas. I think it's going to come down to Arkansas and Texas there. He's a guy that can come in immediately and play, be eligible to play next season. So that would be a huge get, obviously a position of need.
All right, Richard, well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the biggest news in recruiting, at least the ones that I care about the most and might be the best walk-on of all time. Receiver Brett Nabers, I saw. He didn't have to think very hard about
He spells it the right way,
N-A-B-O-R-S. So he's a preferred walk-on. He got the offer from the university, and looks like they were able to land him. What can you tell us about the greatest walk-on of all time, Brett Nabers?
Well, he mentioned you. He wished he was related to you.
No, he doesn't.
But
he really doesn't.
Well, actually, I talked him out of it.
Good deal.
Yeah, but no, he's an intriguing kid. He did have an offer from Rutgers at one time, but he had a hamstring injury last summer, and school's kind of backed off of him. He wasn't 100%. For his high school season until about mid-season. So he did put up the best numbers. So and he had some other offers too. So that I think he's a good addition. He's a preferred walk-on, which means he'll be able to participate in fall practice when they start in August. So a good size, about 6'2", 6'3". And, one of those guys that, you keep an eye on and by sophomore, junior year, it may be going, wow, where did this guy come from? So, and his family, obviously, they have a lot of ties. His father's from Piggott. He's got family still in Piggott, so it's a big deal for him to be a Razorback.
Well, like I said, I'm going to be rooting for him. And it has nothing to do with the last name, of course. I just have this feeling he's going to be the best walk-on of all time.
You had a few college offers that were rescinded, too.
Yeah, I know. But
you can relate.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was all discipline, wasn't it?
J-board stuff.
Yeah, I didn't want to take the summer classes to get academically eligible there, too.
Yeah.
So something like that, some excuse that we can use.
Academic suspension's tough to overcome.
Yeah. It really is. It's a big hill to climb there. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
And that police record didn't help any.
I'm telling you, I had it all against me. The world was against me, but I made it out okay. That was for sure. So
God bless you, John.
He is working here now.
Yeah. Well, as always, Richard, we really appreciate you hopping on with us, man. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you next week. All right.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.